In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Children, during Lent especially, we make the way of the cross. Now, you know there are many ways of making the way of the cross. In other words, there are many prayers that we can say, as long as we think about the passion of our Lord and say certain other prayers, we can gain the indulgences under certain special conditions. There are many ways to make the way of the cross. Did you ever think that when you come to church, by visiting some of the different shrines that are set up every day in church, it's a bit like making a way of the cross, because the way of the cross tells us about what our Lord suffered and how, all the steps or the stages that he went through. I'm thinking of that today because I've discovered that in the Franciscan churches in the old days, today, the first Friday of March, used to be their feast day of the Way of the Cross. And since we're doing St. Francis this Lent, he's our patron saint, and of course every Lent we do the Way of the Cross, I think it's a good thing to think about. So even in church here, if you look at the different shrines, if you were to go here, you would say to yourself, that's a picture of our Lord from his holy shroud. That's another feast day that we keep today, our Lord's holy shroud, which is like a photograph of Christ. That's on the Blessed Mother altar. And then over here we have the stational saint of the day, St. Vitalis. And we have St. Felicity, who is one of the two chief saints of the day, Saints Perpetua and Felicity. In the middle of the church we have a Greek burial shroud with which it's a picture of our Lord in the tomb. It's a symbol of the holy shroud of Christ. And sometimes in the East, people would be buried with one of those. I bought that when I made a pilgrimage to the Holy Land many years ago. And then, of course, we have St. Francis with his five wounds. And then there's a little shrine for our Lord carrying the cross, and he looks out at you. If you say a prayer in front of him, you see our Lord's eyes. Sometimes you see that in a picture, don't you? Our Lord's eyes are on you. And then, of course, not to forget the Sacred Heart of Jesus, because today is First Friday. You could make a little way of the cross just across the front of the church and visit each shrine and say a little prayer there. A good way for us to think about the Mass, children, and today is First Friday, so we're offering our Mass and Communion especially to make it up to the Sacred Heart in reparation. A good way to think about the Mass, too, with all of its different steps and stages, as a kind of a living way of the cross. Sometimes they have processions. They like to do this in Mexico especially. And everyone gets to dress up as a different character in the way of the cross. And it's a sort of a living play. And you go to each station and you see enacted what happened during the way of the cross. Well, the Mass gives us that in a certain sense. And it reminds us, too, the way life works. In other words, everything doesn't happen all at once, does it? No, you go from one station to another, one step at a time. What's the important thing? That you go with Christ and with his Blessed Mother. So, today, the first thing would be today's saints, because today is their feast day, and they're important saints. We mention them every day after the consecration in the canon of the Mass, Saints Perpetua and Felicity. Their story is a little bit like a way of the cross, because it had so many chapters or so many parts that led them up to dying for Christ. So Saint Perpetua, she was a noblewoman in northern Africa, and she was a young mother. She, along with her slave, Saint Felicity, who was expecting a baby, were studying to be baptized at Easter, and they were called catechumens. But the persecution came, and they got arrested, and they were taken to the police, and there was a great to-do, and eventually they were put into prison. But in the meantime, the bishop baptized the both of them. Perpetua had a new baby, as I say, and that was a little boy, and her father was a pagan, and he loved his daughter Perpetua more than anyone else and the family. She was his favorite. And so he knelt down and he begged her to become a pagan again and to worship the idols. And he made such a fuss during her trial that the soldiers eventually had to drive him off with blows. They were beating him up and dragging him away. He didn't want his daughter to die, and he didn't understand about the true faith. That was kind of so sad. Meanwhile, St. Perpetua had a dream, and in her dream, she saw her brother who had died when he was a boy, and his name was Dinocrates. And she saw that by her prayers, that's what her brother told her in the dream, by her prayers, he had been delivered from purgatory. That's important to remember. Then they were both thrown into prison, and it was dark and very hot and very dirty. But the deacons came from the church, and the deacons paid some bribes, and they made things a little bit better for the prisoners, because our Lord always does take care of us. And then the next thing that happens in the stations of their story is that Saint Felicity, the slave woman, she gives birth. And while she's giving birth, she cries out because she's in pain. And one of the soldiers says to her roughly, "Well, if you think you're in pain now, how on earth are you going to make it through the being in the Colosseum with all of the tortures and the wild beasts?" And she said, "Right now, I'm the one who's suffering to give birth to my baby. But then I'll be suffering for Christ and with Christ." And so it was. He was with the both of them when they suffered. They had a big net kind of thrown over them, and wild cows came and tossed them up in the air. But even then, in the midst of their sufferings, they remembered modesty. And St. Perpetua's hair came down, and she fixed her hair, as women will, and her dress came off her shoulder, and she adjusted her dress so as to stay modest. And they greeted each other one last time with a kiss of peace, and then they were beheaded for Christ. Now, the soldier who was going to chop off the head of St. Perpetua, the noblewoman, he was very nervous. He had never done this before, and he didn't do a very good job. But St. Perpetua had the presence of mind to reach out, and she took the sword, and she guided it to her neck to show him how he could do it. How could she be so brave? Because she was dying for our Lord, and the Holy Ghost was with her. And as I say, we remember them every day after the consecration at Mass. What will be the second station? Well, it's another story. It's a story from the Bible, from the Old Testament, about Saint Joseph of the Old Testament, who had a number of brothers, and his 11 brothers, or 12 of them all together, hated him very much. He was the favorite of his father as well, and they were jealous of him. And finally, eventually, they threw him into a pit, and they sold him for a few coins down into Egypt as a slave. This would be a symbol of what the Jews would do to our Lord when he came to this earth to persuade their father that Jacob, that his son was really dead. What they did was they took his multicolored tunic or cloak that he was very proud of. His father had given that to him, and they dipped it in blood, the blood of an animal, and they sent it to him to say, "Look, we found this. See if it doesn't belong to your son." That's a symbol of the Holy Shroud, which was dipped in the blood of our Lord, and we recognize truly as a picture of the Son of God. Later on, Joseph would be released from being a slave, and indeed, he would save even the pagans in the time of famine, and the pagan Egyptians hailed him as a savior. Then there's another story in the Gospel. That's our third station today, children, and it's the same kind of a story as we've had in the Epistle. That is to say, it's a story about how the Jews hated Christ. This time our Lord says there was a wealthy man, and he had a vineyard. That's where they raise grapes, and then they make wine out of the grapes. And in the vineyard, all he asked was that the people pay, the ones who had the vineyard, that they pay the owner once a year their tithes. And he sent his servants to collect, and they never would pay. And eventually they beat up the servants and drove them off, and some they even put to death. The Jews realized he was talking about, our Lord was, he was talking about them. That is to say that they didn't want to give God, the Jews didn't, the honor and the obedience that was due to him. And so finally, after they mistreat the prophets, God sends his own son and he says, well, they'll respect my son, but they don't respect God's son. And they take our Lord and they put him to death. So our Lord in today's gospel, it's a Friday, about 1 month until Good Friday, our Lord is telling about his own death on the cross. Now, last of all, there's a final station. And what is that final station? The final station is the Mass itself. It's not a story. It's not going from one place to another as we would in church with the stations or visiting the shrines during Lent. It's a reality. Only like a parable, you have to know that what one thing stands for, another. But it's really happening right here and now. Our Lord is going to die for us on the cross. So the Mass, children, is the greatest way of the cross of all. Our Lord's crucified body and his precious blood is right before us at the altar. Think about that, at the consecration. This is what we offer up. We offer up God the Son to God the Father to make up for our sins. And this is how we follow Christ. We not only watch him go to die and think about him dying for our sins, we go with him and we offer him up to the Father. How can you make the way of the cross at every Mass, children? Well, remember, Mary was there. Go with Mary. Our Lord had a heavy cross. Help our Lord to carry his cross by your prayers and by your love. Veronica was brave. She wiped the face of Christ with her veil. So, too, you make reparation for your sins, especially by your communion today. The women of Jerusalem, they wept over Christ. Let us weep over him and over our sins. And most of all, let us follow him to offer up God the Son to God the Father, this holy sacrifice. Now, what's the best way of all of participating in Mass? It's to receive Holy Communion devoutly. And that we do by making, you might say, one last station. You go from your pew to the rail. Oh, and you must go just as devoutly as an angel would go, children, with your hands folded and very devoutly to receive our Lord. So you see, there are many ways, and not just during Lent, of doing the stations. God bless you.